This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi. Gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Radio Free Mississippi.
Thanks for having me.
Joining us via Skype is Mr. Alex Linder in Kirksville, Missouri, and Mr. Brad Griffin in Montgomery, Alabama. Gentlemen, let's pick up where we left off. Let's get right into it. Just fundamental stuff that needs to be fleshed out. Alex, is your real legal name Alex Linder?
Yes, it is.
Brad, is your real legal name Brad Griffin?
Absolutely.
Is there any safe way for both of you to validate your contention that you're using your real legal name?
And that's too ridiculous to respond to. I mean, I've been under my name my whole life. There's no doubt that I am who I say I am. I mean, Christ.
Okay, so it's ridiculous.
Look me up. I mean, what the hell?
Okay, so it's ridiculous on your part, but you've alleged that Brad is possibly not Brad. So I guess maybe
I asked him. I didn't allege anything. I don't know what the truth is. I grow irritated by people using 15 different names. I don't know. Whatever he says, that's fine. I'm not going to keep checking it.
Well, I want to get to the bottom of it. So the question is put to you then, Brad. Is there any safe way for you to validate your assertion that you're actually using your real legal name?
Well, for 2 years, Alex has used my real name on a thread on his forum, so it's kind of mysterious that now, you know, people would be saying that I'm not Brad Griffin. But if you need to see my driver's license or something, I suppose I could take a picture and edit out my social security number, and I could send it to you.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying.
Jim, someone else said that his real name was Brad Griffin, so I used that, assuming maybe it was. I didn't know for absolute true, nor do I even particularly care. I mean, if he says that's his real name, fine.
One role of legitimate journalism is to sort out what is the actual fact and not go with, you know, things that aren't actually factual. So, yeah, Brad, if you'll, you know, somebody suggested that, email it to me. And
I'll happily email it to you. I don't want to post it for a bunch of people on the internet, but I'll send it to you.
Okay. The next question I have is in regard to how both of you became racial. Now, Alex, I've heard you describe your writing in Washington and concluded that you were working for
Not writing in Washington. I didn't do any writing in Washington, at least not that was published. Except for a name I sent under a fake Jewish name just to prove that they were discriminating against my kind. Now, that's kind of funny, actually. Well, that was after I'd already left professional conservatism.
If you could just repeat what you did do in Washington then.
Oh, well, I was an intern. And I worked for Evans and Novak, who were a couple of pretty well-known syndicated columnists, both now dead. One of them was an old line WASP from Philadelphia. The other was a... sort of a brash Jew reporter from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fading now, but they were big names back in the 80s and the 90s. And they died. I did work for them. I went through pretty much the whole circuit out there, starting with American Spectator and then the National Journalism Center, which kind of trains young right-wing journalists. A lot of people at Fox, a lot of people who were the rare conservative staffer at different papers around the country went through that. It's kind of a 12-week training program. And through that, they hooked me up with Evans and Novak, and I worked for them for a while. And then I went and worked in trade journalism for a conservative publisher out there who had gotten into business publications because there was no real money in political publishing. So I edited some newsletters for him for a few years, and then I broke off and started a company doing the same thing on my own. And did that for a few more years, and that took about 10, 15 years. That's what I did out of college, but the lure of politics was too strong, so when circumstances changed, I came back to the Midwest and started VNN, and from there, people should be familiar.
And the gist of my question is, your arrival at your current racial position is a, is a function of intellectualism strictly and exclusively? Was there any...
No, it's mixed. I grew up, as I've said, I think I said on your show before, I grew up as a sort of a... Yeah, when I was a little kid, I was reading opinion pieces, and my family is kind of German bourgeois Protestant background, you know, very ordinary. Tens of millions of people have the same background, ultimately from farming a couple of generations ago, like I'm sure most of the people listening to this. And, you know, I read opinions. I heard right-wing opinions from my father. I read stuff in the paper, and I could see that the leftist writers were wrong about everything, and they were lying about stuff. So I assumed that the people on the right were telling the truth. And to a good extent, they were. But, and remember back then, no internet. They were not telling the truth about race. But what I particularly noticed was they would always leave the why out. They would always describe the symptoms of problems that they were irritated about. They'd never explain why this problem was happening and how we solve it. And that always irritated me, even when I was a very, very young child. And I didn't understand it.
Anyway,
the point is I bought their line on individualism. But after college in Claremont, California, I went to D.C. D.C. is a heavily black city. I didn't grow up around blacks or even around Mexicans living in California. They weren't even there yet when I was living there in large numbers. So living in D.C. and seeing what blacks are actually like in a large majority made me realize that what the conservatives were saying about race was not true. But I already knew the facts about that blacks were dumber and more criminal than whites. I knew that as an intellectual matter before I ever went there. So I was never a true believer in, they're totally equal. I knew they were different, but I didn't understand fully how different until I was around them. And I saw there's no way you can live with these people.
But it sounds to me like your experiences are strictly intellectual, no real world experience that puts you into your current racial mode. Would that be fair to say?
I just told you. Yeah, I would
you,
say it was.
Were you ever mugged? Were you ever mugged? Well,
Jim, have you lived in D.C.? I mean,
I've been to D.C.
I lived all around that area, which is mostly black. So yeah, if you want to say, I mean, I had the experience of going in 7-Eleven and being, you know, street nigger junkies who are shivering, asking for money. And one time I thought I was going to get in a fight, and one of my friends came out, and you know, one of the tall junkies was hassling us for money, and I was ready to pound the crap out of him. And, I mean, I really wanted to kill him. And it's things like that make you realize, like, God damn, these goddamn assholes lied to me. These aren't frigging humans. They should be shot. And yet, if you did that in D.C., they'd have your ass in jail and string you up. And that stuff just all over the place. So, yeah, there's some real-world experience, but mostly it was out of books when I was a kid because I didn't grow up around them. True.
So, no mugging, no – you've never had
– No, I've never gotten mugged by any blacks. Okay. I'm highly aware when I'm around blacks, believe me.
All right. Brad, how about you?
Well, I was raised as a racialist. I'm from an area that's very black in the Alabama Black Belt, so there was no avoiding racial issues when I was growing up. Pretty much everyone around here is a racialist to some degree. There's nothing taboo about being racialist, in my experience. So this is just racialism is just a part of my culture, and I grew up in that culture. So there was never any conflict between believing. I was never an anti-racist. So
it's cultural, though, no physical experiences like Alex. Neither of y'all have had physical experiences with blacks, is what I hear both of you saying.
I grew up my hometown is 50% black.
Has a black ever jumped you? Have you ever been mugged? Has anybody in your family ever been robbed or raped?
Robbed one time. Someone in my family's been robbed one time, but
was that the trigger?
I interacted. I grew up interacting with blacks on a daily basis. So
this is where I'm coming from. I hear you, both you guys are real smart. Y'all are super. You can wield a mighty pen. But I don't hear either one of you being able to really tell us the vitriol, in other words. I'm trying to understand why both of you are so worked up about it, because I know personally I've had physical experiences with blacks. That's why you hear me talking now. Physical experiences. They try to put my ass in prison. It gets real personal. I'm emotional about it. But you guys are coming at it from a strictly intellectual perspective, and I'm just trying to understand, is that, do you feel like possibly you don't really understand the issue as well as somebody who's maybe actually had physical experiences with blacks. In other words, it's all theory with both you guys.
No, I totally disagree.
It's not all theory, Jim. It's obviously too complex for you to grasp. But
hey,
it's
there
not
you go with that.
Theory.
Hey, there you go with this shit again about the IQ. Listen, Linder, I'll be nice to you and respectful to you if you're nice and respectful to me.
You just deny the fact.
No,
being
you, you know
by
the
blacks
the,
is not the only experience you can have with them.
Well, it's all fucking theoretical on your part, though. I don't hear any real world experiences coming from you.
It's not
because I didn't get my ass kicked by them like you
or,
did.
Or that you did. Hey, nobody whipped my ass down here. I prevailed every time. I ain't never been whipped.
Oh, let me clarify something, all right? I live in one of the blackest areas in the state of Alabama, in the deep
South.
Yeah,
so how can you say he has no experience with blacks? There's no one left in the U.S. who hasn't had experience with them, but people have had more or less. You guys have had more than I am because that's where all the blacks live is down south.
Okay.
All right.
I think we got that one.
It's not a theoretical thing on my part.
At this point, it's not theoretical to anyone. I mean, it really isn't. Unless you're living, you know, in some very remote rural area, there's always going to be some blacks around, and they act the way all blacks do.
I disagree. I think it's totally theoretical given what the mass media has done to most whites. Most whites don't even know about Charlotte Parker. Now, the Parker family, they have some real fucking real-world experiences with niggers. Because guess what? They come home from church one night up in the Delta. Mother, father, son, daughter come home from church, and two niggers are waiting for them. Guess what the two niggers do to the Parker family? They kill them all. But in particular, little Charlotte, who's 9 years old, both the niggers, they rape her vaginally and anally, so testified the pathologist, Stephen Hain. But the little girl, then they shot her. That ain't what the little girl died of. Little Charlotte didn't die of being raped vaginally and anally and shot three times. No, hell no. She died of smoke inhalation because the two niggers set the house on fire. Now, that's a real fucking real-world experience, which most Mississippians have never even fucking heard of in their whole goddamn life. Most Americans don't have any real fucking world experiences with niggers. Neither one of you two guys have never had any real fucking experiences with niggers. Now, but yet you've got all this fucking vitriol. And so, you know, it's just a little bit. y'all can write all your pretty essays. And when you start talking about everybody knows where niggers are coming from. Hell no, they ain't. They don't know where niggers are coming from.
Well, it's not due to our effort trying not to inform them. We've been trying to inform them.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of set the deck as to where we're at. Now, let's go to forum versus blog. Alex, you have chosen way back to utilize a forum, whereas Brad uses a blog. Have either one of y'all considered flip-flopping?
I used to have a forum, and then I moved to the blog.
I started with HTML pages, static ones, and then wrote daily stuff for years for the main page. And then one of my backers wanted to create a forum for fans of my writing, and he did that. And then after that, years later, blogs were invented and became common. And now, you know, we have our main page as a blog. I don't write so much for it, but I tend to do all my work in the forum. But I don't know; it's just different ways to get the message out.
I
guess they have their inferiorities and their superiorities, but to me, it's not all that different.
I have
post something, people respond to it.
I've tuned in to both y'all's sites, and I see the crowds at both sites, and I'm curious to hear your take on moderation, that is, moderating who posts and what's allowed. Brad, how about you? What's your policy on moderation? Haven't you only recently begun moderating?
Well, yes, that's true. My traditional way of doing things is just to let people have their say. If it gets really out of hand, I will come in and delete it. It's a pain in the ass to sit there and have to moderate every single comment. You have to read every single comment when you get something like 100, 150 comments a day. It's a pain in the ass to sit there and have to nanny people. But after going over to the VNN site and interacting with a lot of people there, that's one thing that convinced me that maybe I need to do that. And I've cut out a good 90% of it over the last week. Now, I got the comment filter off for the live thread for people can participate. But I'm generally, if someone's generally going to flame, I generally like will delete it. I've deleted a lot of stuff in the last week. So
yeah, but look, VNN has higher standards than anyone in white nationalism. Okay, I don't allow people to get on there and create egregious, felonious, libelous lies and spread them, and you do at your site. So you can act like, oh, VNN's full of piss and vinegar. That's not the problem. The problem is when people are making basically legal-level libelous allegations about people. I don't let them do that.
Really? Really?
You
I mean, you've had a thread about me trying to out me at your website for 2 years. You have
trying to out
posted
you.
All... Yes, you were trying to out my real name at your website for 2 years. Yep. You have had your website is renowned in both across the whole internet in white nationalism and amongst anti-racists for character assassination. That's what your website is known for.
Maybe like, you calling you by your real name is character assassination.
But you try to out people. You've tried to damage people on your website. You have people. All kinds of stuff over the years. VNN.
I don't let people say anything about you that's even remotely akin to what you allow your people to say about me.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely
ridiculous.
It's
not ridiculous. That's exactly how it is.
No, your website has trashed me for a good 600 comments in just that thread. Now, there's been stuff that's been posted about you at my website, and I've deleted it. In fact, a lot of the threads that I used to have on my website, I personally went through my blog and deleted all of them. So all those discussions.
You tell me something that runs afoul of VNN laws or rules that's still standing about you, because there isn't
anything. It's a sewer. That's
a characterization. I'm asking you for specific claims that people have made about you that aren't true.
About me?
Yeah, about you.
Okay, you have all kinds of stuff on there saying that I phished passwords. And you have people on there saying that I'm a homosexual. You've had people on there saying I'm a Jew. There's all kinds of stuff on there.
I don't know about that. The password phishing thing, I have a couple of people who basically have provided pretty good evidence that you were at least somehow involved with whoever was doing that. I don't know what the full truth is.
The guy who did that has showed up on your forum and has said he has done it. But I don't even fucking know how to transfer a WordPress database to my new site. I don't even know how to do that kind of stuff, period.
Well, that's been an ongoing wrangle for years. I've stayed out of it. I don't know what the truth is. If people believe you, I guess they'll believe your assertions.
But anyway, I mean, all I can say is that if you ask anybody in the white nationalist movement whose site is, like, renowned for character assassination, they're going to say VNN. The SPLC will say VNN. Everybody,
they never lie or misrepresent anything, so let's take their word.
It's true.
Okay, let's talk about anonymity. Alex, your position on anonymity in regard to the posters at your forum, you've, I believe, made a big deal about believing in being non-anonymous, actually using your real name. Of the posters you have at VNN, what percentage actually use their real name?
Oh. Probably under 1%, certainly.
How do you square your position with...
Well, I'm not... No, understand me. I'm not against anonymity. There are good reasons to be anonymous. What I'm saying is for people who have any desire to lead and be at all a public face, you absolutely must use your real name. That's why I made Brad's using his real name a condition of doing these debates. Because it makes it a clown show. If you have pretensions to lead and speak and agitate on behalf of your people or your cause, you must use your real name. Otherwise, you're a clown. For other people, if someone has a serious job and they're posting on there, the enemy will go right to their employer and take their postings and get them fired. So how can I tell those people to use their real name when that's what's going to happen? Maybe they got a family to feed. I can't tell them. What I can tell them is if you're going to be here and if you're going to be anonymous, then God damn it, you better be doubly honorable in what you post. And that, believe me, is an ideal that is certainly not attained. but that's how I try to pressure it. I try to get people to behave responsibly. But it's just the nature of the medium that people want to get on there and go after people with attacks that they're they can't be responded to because the person making the attack is anonymous. That's why VNN has the rules it does, which are unique in the white nationalist world in holding people to a higher standard. Compare with Stormfront or OD or anywhere else.
We're asking.
You can make any kind of. Yeah, he says he removes stuff. Every time I've gone there, I've seen stuff said about me that was completely libelous.
Well, I mean, you know,
it's the internet. I mean, whatever. You can't give people a free roll to destroy the reputations of other people.
That's all VNN does.
Garbage.
What? Aside from
how are we destroying your reputation by using your real name when you're allowing passwords to be phished and you're attacking other people? What we're doing is saying, who is this guy who keeps allowing all this stuff? He won't use his real name. We'll come up with his real name.
No, you make it your business to like try to have people like Craig Cobb dig into my personal life, out my real name. People like contacting me and stuff. You've had like that Daryl guy. You had people from the fora go over there and post his like his name, his address, his telephone number.
That's against our rules. I haven't allowed that.
They brought
their dispute from the fora over to VNN. We got rid of it. I don't allow any of that.
Not according to him.
All that stuff
was published into Google search results. I mean, go ask Stormfront or go ask VDare or go ask Amarin or go ask anybody who's not involved in VNN, anybody, I don't care who it is, and ask them what VNN is known for and what are they going to say?
Okay, coming up with basically every single idea that white nationalism has had over the past 20 years.
No, they're going to say that VNN is like the Sally Jesse Raphael show of the damn white nationalist movement. It's where people go to gossip and spread rumors and get down in the mud. That's what if you ask anybody in the white nationalist movement.
Anyone listening can go to VNNforum.com and read through it and make up their own minds.
Alex, let me ask you a more specific question in regard to moderation that's occurred to me, and that is, do you not have a sense of flow when a discussion begins and that it's disruptive for a poster to come in and just, I think
you're talking about hijacking. I'm not as against hijacking as a lot of people are, unless I declare like a serious threat or a certain threat where they must stay online, then I don't care. I like to let it wander around some. I know a lot of people don't agree with that.
Yeah. All right, Brad, your site, of those who post there, how many actually use their real name percentage wise?
I'm not sure if I could put a percentage on it. I know a healthy percentage of them do. We got a lot of
50%, 50% are non-anonymous, or
I would say at least a quarter. They'll use their first name usually.
No. You got the same percentage as we do, which is none basically. Mine has a few.
That's my sense as well, Brad. But correct me if I'm wrong.
Jim, the more interesting question is where his readers come from, because we did a poll of ours and we found that a quarter were Southern, a quarter were non-Southern U.S., or half were non-Southern U.S., and a quarter were outside the U.S. And I bet his is exactly
the same. How did you come up with those
numbers?
No, you're wrong.
How did you come up with those numbers?
We did a poll of just the people visiting. So we got a good sample, probably 50 people or so.
And Brad, how about your people?
Well, you know, I don't try to to ask people, you know, where are you based? I don't want to scare people off, but I have looked at IP addresses, and I can in the last lender debate thread, I looked at the IP addresses, and I traced 60-70% of them back to the southern states of people who were commenting.
Yeah, that's the problem. I recall when I moderated my forum, I didn't want to scare anybody off, but anyway, next question. Alex, are you healthy? Are you a healthy man?
No, I'm not.
What's wrong with you?
I've got ulcerative colitis. It's an ongoing condition that I deal with.
What is that?
It's basically it's a problem with the colon. They don't know the cause for it or the cure for it. So, you know, kind of work through it, work around it. Kind of a draining, chronic draining, wasting type disease. Hard to keep weight on.
Is it threatening your life? Are you at risk of dying?
No, I'm not at risk of dying. Actually, people with it tend to live longer than average from what I've read.
Does it impair your...
Oh, hell yeah, it impairs.
Yeah. Brad, are you healthy?
Pretty much.
What about this issue on mental stability? There's been a lot of allegations in regard to
Okay. About 4 years ago, I was up for like several days. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news, and I'd been up like drinking, and I was following this stuff real closely, so I hadn't got enough sleep, right? And I was sitting up drinking tons of caffeine, and of course, my parents came over, and I was saying, hey, look, you know, the price of oil has then gotten to like, the average price of gas is like $5 a gallon, and so that they thought I had gone crazy, when I was really just suffering from sleep deprivation. And so they took me to the hospital, and they gave me all kinds of these. They said I was like mildly bipolar, and they gave me all kinds of these damn drugs. And I came home, and that stuff had me screwed up for like a month or two. But it turned out to be there was nothing to that, and I haven't had any issues with that since. It was just a fuck up.
Alex, this is your chance if you choose to go after Brad's mental instability. Do you think he's mentally stable?
I have nothing to say on that point.
All right. Brad, Alex writes that he's not sure if you're sincere and suggests that you will probably, maybe, go over to the other side, even go to work for the SPLC. Any truth to that? Are you sincere? Are you in this for the long haul?
Well, if Mark Potok and Heidi Byrick are listening to this across town, I think, you know, they're laughing at that one. They know better. I have nothing to do with the SPLC. They know who I am, and they know I have nothing to do with them. So, of course, I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, I've been doing this for 10, 12 years. I have no intention of changing my beliefs.
It reminds me of that boy who works for Taylor, who just turned tail and ran the other way.
Who? Ian Jobling? Oh,
yeah, I was going to. Do you know him, Brad? Ian Jobling?
Yeah, I used to argue with him all the time. I'm one of the people who drove him out.
What do you make of that? Because that article is almost so constructed as to have you believing that Jared Taylor is some kind of Jew critic. I was outraged when I was done reading that. He's real critical of Jews, and that's why this clown left him. What do you make of that?
I followed the whole thing from beginning to end. They had a big falling out after Duke went to the 2006 conference. And Ian Jobling and Lawrence Oster and I believe another guy, a Jew from New York named Mike Berman, they made a push to take over Amarin, and they had a big falling out. And Ian Jobling went and started a new website called Inverted World, where he attacked all the neo-Nazis. And about two or three years ago, there was a bunch of guys. There was Ian Jobling, there was another guy named Guy White, and of course there was Oster. And they were trying to make white nationalism safe for the Jews by saying that, you know, we had to completely jettison anything to do with anti-Semitism. And that went on for about a year or two. And if you look in the OD archives, you can see where I ferociously argued with those people. And both Ian Jobling and Guy White eventually just shut down their websites. Until that article was posted at the SPLC site, no one had heard the first thing about Jobling in 2 years. So,
yeah, interesting.
Alex,
I'm one of the people who drove him out of the blogosphere 2 years ago.
All right,
Alex, I've read your post at VNN, and it's a repetitive theme of yours that you're not sure if Brad is with us long haul.
You've got to understand, the context of white nationalism is that we are hated and attacked and oppressed by our enemies, and then we have ass clowns like Jared Taylor who say, oh, we're doing it to ourselves, we're committing suicide. No, we're not. We're being murdered. All of these white organizations were founded by men. We always tend to be like progressives, like the whole world before us was a bunch of clowns, and we are the wise men who are going to solve. No, the people before us were just as smart as we are, probably even smarter. Probably even tougher and more daring, and they failed at what we're trying to do because they were cut down by the enemy in the federal government. Okay, so what we have is very open infiltration and people overtly out to make troubles and stigmatize and demonize us. And what we need in the middle of all that, more than anything else, is calm stability. All right, and that means people operating under their real name, and holding to the same political line for years, and that is exactly what I've done. That's what Germanic people are famous for, and that's the part of my heritage that I identify with and try to carry on. Ordnung, you know, order. You know, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be saying this forever.
Do you think
I'm not going to change it. Now, I'm just saying, Brad, while an excellent writer, you know, he's a communitarian, he's a Nazi, he's a conservative, he's a white nationalist, he's an atheist, he's a Christian, he's a whatever he is now. Well, what's he going to be tomorrow? When a man changes his mind, I give him maybe one serious change in life. More than that, and you're not to be taken seriously. So let him defend himself on that front.
Brad, do you think pressures could be applied that would just say, it's time to throw the towel in? This sounds good, but ain't worth it.
No, of course not. Okay, let me respond to this. Okay, first of all, I'm not a white nationalist. And the reason I'm not a white nationalist is because of the white nationalists I've met in real life. I mean, Greg Johnson was the guy who got me into white nationalism, and look how that fucking turned out. I went to Virginia and blew through my savings to go try to promote white nationalism, and you have people like Matt Parrott going on the internet and slamming me after I go and like put my neck out to yell at this Jeffrey M. guy for trying to get him fired from his job. The reason I'm not a white nationalist is because I keep having bad experiences with white nationalists. And after, I mean, look at Lenders Forum. For 2 years, those people have been after me. Look at the people on the forum, or go to the VNN thread. If the average person could land on the VNN thread and they could see, oh, well, that's who white nationalists are. Do you think those people would want to be white nationalists? No. The reason I'm not a white nationalist is because I keep having people – the only people who have ever given me any trouble in this world are white nationalists, as hard as that is to believe. People like Jeffrey M., they don't harass me. Even the SPLC leaves me alone pretty much. But I keep having bad experiences with white nationalists, and it got to the point where you know, I realized just because someone is white, that doesn't necessarily mean that I like them or I want to be associated with them. And let me put it this way. The way I understand it is that white nationalists all want to move to a central location and create their white ethnostate, right? Well, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if half the damn people that I've met over the internet over the years move to my community, would that be an improvement? Probably. Do I want everyone at the VNN forum to move to my hometown, to my neighborhood, to my city? No. I would rather have the guy who found my wallet the other day. That's the kind of person I would like to have as my neighbor. Or the other day when Jim went to the Christmas parade and was around average, normal, well-adjusted, agreeable people. That's the kind of people I want as my neighbors. I don't want people who are dysfunctional, people who are angry and alienated and
then
irreligious.
Then Brad, why are you involved with so-called extreme politics? Politics ain't beanbag. That's the famous expression, man. You need to grow a thicker
skin. I got out of white nationalism. I don't want to be around people like that.
I'll tell you, any politics, there's going to be a lot of attacks on you. Do you imagine Republicans, their internal fighting is any worse than white nationalists?
I've met these people before. I know people in the conservative movement, and I've been involved in those circles.
And you were just criticizing them last broadcast. They're the exact same way.
No, I'm not talking about professional conservatives. I'm not talking about the people in D.C. I'm talking about the kind of people you would meet at a Tea Party rally or the kind of people who would, you know, go to some conservative club here in Alabama. Most of these people are nice people. They're well-adjusted people. They're agreeable people. Those are the kind of people you want as your neighbors. Do I want VNN Forum to be my neighbor? No.
Well-adjusted people are not capable of producing the change we need.
If Craig Cobb moved to my neighborhood, I would not consider that an improvement. He's white, so what? I mean, if someone's going to pull out a damn...
Why do you keep it... You attack Craig Cobb. Craig Cobb is able to get a job anywhere he goes. He's got all kinds of friends. He's been super generous in donating money. He's done more political passing out of newspapers and just talking to people than anyone I can think of.
Yeah, this guy...
That's such a bad thing.
Well, I think this guy went to... He comes into Kalispell, Montana and says, hey, look at me. I'm your racial brother. And he ends up fucking pulling a .45 on someone who takes him into his house.
Well, let me say, that is explained... that's explained in the thread you referenced, and you came out far the worse in the explanations in that department.
Look at Craig Cobb. Now, that's a guy you can trust.
I can trust him.
I don't trust him at all.
Why do y'all keep?
I bought a bunch of plots of land and gave him.
I don't trust people who look like that, who act like that, who's just a few months ago he was.
Just rejected every Confederate general there ever was.
Just a few months ago, that guy was involved with the Joe Snuffy guy, the guy who went out and tried to blow up Spokane.
That's not true.
No, that is true. I remember that at the time. He was hanging out with that Joe Snuffy guy at your forum. The guy who went out and tried to blow up an MLK parade. That dysfunctional idiot.
That's what the feds say. Don't you think if that were true, the feds would have pulled Craig Cobb in conspiracy charge of E2? If Snuffy did what they said he did, then he did it alone and didn't talk to anyone else about it.
He was just one person at VNN Forum. There's another guy, that guy Todd in Florida. He tried to blow up something. There are all kinds of people there that I do not want in my community. I would not consider it an improvement if a lot of these people moved to my area. I don't. If they came here to create a white nation, chances are within like, I mean, what would they do? They would come here and they would start insulting people. And they would make themselves a nuisance, and within a week, they would have stirred up the whole community against them. That's not the kind of people I want to surround myself. I want to surround myself with normal people, with well-adjusted people, with people who aren't going to pull a 45 out of me. I've had so many people who've said they're my racial brother who have stabbed me in the back over the years. I don't even buy into that crap anymore. I mean, just because someone is white doesn't mean they have the first damn thing in common in with me. Just because someone is white doesn't mean they're not going to try to hurt me or injure me or injure someone I care about. I want to surround myself with normal people, with families, with well-adjusted people who are not disagreeable. I mean, who the fuck wants to hang out with people who are miserable all the time? No one.
Next question. Alex, how do you respond to people who allege you are a double agent?
Anyone who makes any what I would call serious allegation at my forum, I demand they provide proof, whether the person is Jew, anti, or whatever, or I ban them. And so I would say, I'm a double agent. First of all, I'm not, if you want a direct answer to the question. Second of all, if you're going to make an allegation, produce proof of it. They don't have any proof.
Next question. In regard to infiltration of your ranks, Brad, are you confident that your ranks are pure?
Well, I can't. I'm sure that SPLC has spies in the ranks of anybody they consider extremists.
Yeah,
I'm sure
of course. If anything that's fundamentally anonymous is going to have all the usual trolls and whatever.
I'm not talking about my website. I'm talking about like organizations.
Next question. In regard to IQ, two prominent psychologists died recently, Philip Rushton and Arthur Jensen. They studied IQ differences among the races and concluded what most people assume, and that is white people are smarter than non-white people. My question is, first, in regard to IQ, Alex, do you know what your IQ is?
I do not, actually.
Brad?
I'm sorry, I was on my website.
Do you know what your IQ is?
It's got to be like 115, 120, something like that.
Do you have a ballpark for yours?
I've never had an IQ test. I mean,
I had mine tested once when I was a kid, but I was not told the results, and I didn't like the person giving the test.
Do you have a feeling as to where it might fall?
Yeah, I have a feeling, but I'm not going to state it. Mm-hmm.
In regard to these psychologists, though, who've studied IQ, Rushton and Jensen are dead. McDonald is talking now. How do you view McDonald as compared to Rushton and Jensen?
Well, I like all three of them. I have Rushton's book.
I mean, is McDonald as good or better than Rushton and Jensen? Of the three, who was the best?
Well, I don't know that they're necessarily – you're comparing apples and oranges. McDonald is what, kind of a social scientist, evolutionary psychologist, and the other two are They're not fully comparable, really. I don't think.
They're all psychologists.
They're very similar. But
McDonald's not an IQ researcher.
Well,
they study. They're all psychologists, but they have different specialties.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. All that matters is they've all done work that can be used by people who feel the way we do about race, is the way I would put it. And they've all done excellent work. None of their theories have been shot down, as far as I can tell, in the field or outside the field politically. They've merely been suppressed by the hostile Jewish left.
Other than McDonald, who else is out there today who's living?
In what area?
In racial studies and making an intellectual argument that that we're not all equal.
Richard Lynn, I think, is the main one. He's over in Ireland and he studies IQ.
Yeah.
Brad may know there was one, Glade Whitney, but he died. He was a Southerner, actually.
So can you imagine for a moment someone who's not in the racial community and tunes into this broadcast, and what are these guys talking about? They're talking about IQ and that sort of thing. And now's your opportunity to speak with these young folks. What would you tell them? I mean, you're not scientists, but are we all equal? Alex, are we all equal?
No, we're not equal, and IQ has never been something that's interested me in the slightest. I've been always more worried about being funnier than everyone else, not smarter. I mean, smart people are a dime a dozen. What I would say is, if you can't tell that blacks are inherently physically and mentally different from whites, your eyes don't work very well and your nose doesn't work. I mean, and I would just encourage people that, contrary to all the influences in society from Christianity, from schools, and even from your own parents, believe what your senses tell you. Your senses work just fine if you will use them, and that takes courage. Have the courage to use your senses to report to you faithfully about the realities of this world, and you will have no problem at all seeing the racial differences between black and white.
Brad.
As for IQ, I would say that...
No, in regard, if some young person's tuning in, and we're talking about the races, the differences. They've been taught that we're all equal. Now, they hear us talking, and we don't seem to be saying that. So what do you say to those? They're shocked. They're actually wondering if what you're saying is legal.
Okay, I would say that there's no such thing as equality. That's refuted on a daily basis in every public school in the United States. There's no equality in any class. Equality has never been demonstrated in any classroom in the entire world. Just people differ in their intelligence, just as they differ in personality traits, like, you know, agreeableness would be another. Some people are taller than others. I mean, this is common sense. There's no reason to believe everyone is as smart as everyone else. I mean, if everyone is smart as everyone else, how can there be retards? How can there be geniuses?
You just say to him, look, do black people really look to you like white people with stained skins? Or can you kind of tell from all these cues, their wiry hair, their big thing, can you kind of tell they're an entirely different species? And you just appeal to their innate sense of the ridiculousness of things, which just has to be drawn out of them by joking and mockery and laughter, encouraging them to feel at ease. You don't give them explanations. That's for background fill-in stuff when they're on their own. That's why laughter is so important in our cause. Mock the opposition. That shows you're not afraid of them, but we're always saying, we have higher IQs and we can prove it. They've got footnotes that will prove everything we're saying. Oh, you don't have the guts to assert it yourself and just act on it? No, I ain't got to prove it. That's why, you know, it's worthless politically to worry about that stuff. You have to assume that. Get beyond that. We are right. Have the courage and the faith. We are right. We are the good guys. They are the bad guys doing stuff to us. And if you're communicating with young, that's how you have to approach it. Or anyone, really.
How would you describe yourself, Alex? What are you?
I am an implement biped, Jim.
What is that?
And I hope to remain that way.
Define that. What is that?
That means I walk on 2 feet and I don't have feathers. Now, what do you mean? How can you come up with an open-ended question like that? Give me something a little more specific.
Well, I read that all great journalists ask open-ended questions. So I'm trying to be a great fucking journalist.
Well, that's you're trying to copy Barbara Walters and ask me what kind of tree I am?
No. I'm trying. For example, would you call yourself an intellectual? Because the next follow-up question to
I don't, Jim. I don't call myself anything. Labels are for the enemy. I am whatever I am. People can make up their mind. I label the enemy. Attack them. Stigmatize. Ostracize. Attack them. Destroy them. That's what I do.
Well,
that's the way to do it.
How about you, Brad? How would you describe yourself? A label? Would you?
Well, I would say that I'm a normal black guy from South Alabama. That's all.
All right, next question. Alex, how do you? Where do you think you would fit in to Hitler's national socialism in the German high command? What role? Would you be Hitler?
Wasn't the German high command military?
Well, I'm mixing two things, both political and military. Where would you fit in?
I would fit in as an agitator, an organizer, speaker. Probably more in the stuff that Hitler did and the stuff that Goebbels did. You need lots of people who are out there agitating, spreading the ideas and the message, speaking at rallies, that kind of thing. I'm not in any way comparing myself to Goebbels or Hitler, and because they were tremendous talents. But what I'm saying is I'm in that general vein politically. Yeah, you explain, here's the ideas, get it out there, get people stirred up and understanding how they're being abused and having the heart to want to change it.
How about you?
You got to get in their marrow and pull out the emotion. It's not about reason. The reason is just the underwiring.
Brad, where would you fit in?
I think both of us would be working in the propaganda ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's right.
All right.
I don't have a martial background. I don't think Brad does either.
No,
I don't. I'm not like Hitler was really a kind of all in one, you know, man of ideas and action from his military background. And that's kind of what you need because, after all, Hitler himself began as sort of a spy, a little glorified, but the army sent him to check out this small group of people. You kind of need that today when the enemy is able to infiltrate our parties so easily and nip them in the bud.
Okay. But, let's talk
yeah,
about.
You always need propagandists.
Let's talk usually about that, God's.
That word usually has a negative spin, but technically it's the right word.
Let's talk about God's chosen people, the Jews. Brad, is Dixie, the Republic of Dixie, going to welcome Jews? Are you friendly with the Jewish folk? You want them in your neighborhood?
I think the Republic of Dixie is a long-term goal, and I would be happy to focus on trying to get there before I start rolling out. You know, what are our policies would be. I don't know. I'm focused totally on secession, and I think secession would have the beneficial effect. As for whether we can start rounding up Jews in the Republic of Dixie, no, because, I mean, even if by some miracle we did achieve our independence, you know, that would probably cause a United States military intervention within, like, 5 seconds. So, I'm focused totally on secession.
Do you have Jews? Do you have Jewish friends?
Do I have Jewish friends? In real life, no. There's no one around here who's a Jew. I believe there's only like a few thousand Jews in the whole state of Alabama. And
same here in Mississippi, by the way.
the only Jews I've ever that I know of would be I know one guy through who I think he has a quarter paternal Jewish ancestry, and he lives in Pennsylvania. And I've only known him through the internet, so he's not even really a Jew.
Would you be willing to exploit a very talented Jewish intellectual, writer, etc., in your efforts to secede, kind of like the Confederacy did with Judah Benjamin?
Yes, I would say yes. Our major problem is just getting to secede, and if someone is going to help us do that, I would welcome them.
How about you, Alex? Any role for Jews in your program?
Absolutely not. They must be 100% excluded and kept out. If they're not, they will take over any organization. M. Stanton Evans had an adage. He said he was one of the youngest publishers of a paper. He was a famous conservative, someone I dealt with as part of the National Journalism Center. He was the guy who founded that. As I said, that's like a right-wing neocon journalist training center in D.C. that puts out interns to various publications. and has fed a number of, I think Laura Graham or Ingram. Laura Ingram at Fox is one of their more famous ones. They used to list me on their site, but then they took it down. That shows you how they are. But look it up, National Journalism Center. But anyway, M. Stanton Evans said any conservative organization that doesn't exclude liberals in time will be taken over by them. It's just the natural tendency because those people put out thousands and thousands of people who get into stuff and take it over. And that's what we saw happen on the conservative or paleo-conservative right in the early 80s. And it will be the same thing with anything anti-Jewish. Just the nature of Jews being the main buyers of hardcover books, famous for their pill pull, their hair-splitting discussion, the fact that they churn out lawyers by the millions and teachers, and they're people of the word, people of the book. They're going to get into everything and take it over if you don't exclude them. And if you seceded as the South and you had Jews, they would soon be running the South and you'd get the same garbage you have now.
Brad, why aren't you concerned that the Jews that you would exploit would ultimately end up taking over?
I'm concerned about seceding from the Union right now. That's my goal. I do not. Would that be a problem in the long term? Potentially, but I mean, we're not even near first base yet. So my stance on the Jewish question is really, let's focus on seceding, and if some miracle we do secede, then if we're able to establish our independence, then we can start, you know, talking about these other issues. But what worries me is that, you know, any movement against the Jews as to like, oh, we're going to round up Jews and expel them. Well, that's going to, the first thing that's going to happen is that that's going to bring down probably a U.S. military intervention on us, and that's something we can't afford. So we got to be realistic here. Look! I mean, even Alex, you know, likes Hitler. Even Hitler downplayed the
Jewish
question.
Do you not like Hitler? Do you like Hitler, Brad?
I've studied all kinds of historical figures, including Hitler.
Do you like or dislike Hitler?
Do I like or dislike him? Mm-hmm. I don't feel any way about him, really. I think my view, and I've written this on my forum. I think he had some good points, and I think he had some failings. I don't see him as purely evil or purely good, or he was just a leader. He made some mistakes, and if you look at the Jews, even Hitler was in power for 5-6 years or so before he went after the Jews.
What about him killing all those Jews, those 6 million Jews, Brad?
I think that's as for the Holocaust, I have no interest in the subject. I've never really studied it. I'm more focused on North America than Europe. I rarely even post about Europe. And if that's true, then it was. I mean, all I know about the Holocaust is it's definitely been used against us effectively.
Do you think there were 6 million killed?
I don't know. I know for a fact that Hitler killed a lot of them. There's no doubt about that.
About 6 million. Yeah, but a lot of people died in World War II. The question is, was the number up there, you know, 6 million, 5 million, 4 million?
I have no idea. I don't really follow the whole Holocaust debate. I think I would say he probably did. From what I know of it, I know, like, you know, on the Eastern Front, I know they killed a lot of them on the Eastern Front, though, with the Einsatzgruppen. There's no doubt about that.
How much have you read of Irving, and these other people, these people who undermine the notion that there ever was actually a Holocaust? What do you make of them?
What do I make of them?
The contention that the Holocaust is just one big lie to make Jews the victim forever.
I don't even know if Irving agrees with that. I think his position is that a lot of them died, but it wasn't 6 million. So, but I just don't study the issue. I'm not focused on.
Alex, your view on Jews and the Holocaust?
Oh, it's a big lie. And you don't have to be an expert or even dig into it that far to see that it's a big lie. I mean, I recall when I took a history class in college, it was taught by actually a very good Jewish professor, a guy from Brooklyn, and he explained how there were four sets of laws that were progressively more restrictive of Jews with the idea of getting Jews to emigrate, and that's basically what happened to the vast majority of German Jews. And how many Jews? It was across Europe. Yeah, they killed some Jews in Eastern Europe, but hell, the Jewish commissars are leading these masses of Russians to kill them. But $6 million now, it's completely ridiculous. It's a big lie meant to make our kids feel guilty and us pay eternal reparations to them.
Do you have any feel for how many Jews there are alive in the world today?
I really don't, but I would assume whatever the published figure is somewhat of an undercount.
Ballpark?
Because Jews have always been famously evasive on censuses. They don't want to be counted and have it known their full numbers. You know, they're 2% of our population, but you know, they're 50% of what you see on TV as experts. So, you know, draw your own judgments. I'm sure they're fairly seriously undercounted.
Is your position rhetorical in regard to what you would do with the Jewish folks?
Rhetorical? Oh, when I say Jews should be exterminated?
Yes, is that rhetorical?
No. I would be a clown if I said something like that as a matter of rhetoric. That's an intellectual argument, and I make as a result of reading E. Michael Jones's book and thinking seriously about the evidence he provides. Now, he would be horrified by my conclusion, because as a Catholic traditionalist, he believes that all that's wrong with Jews is they haven't converted to Catholicism yet. But my view is we've kicked them out of our countries 110 times. They continue to cause exactly the same problems. They very clearly, what was the line in the Constitution or the Declaration, a long train of abuses and usurpations all tending toward the same end? They intend our genocide. If I had the power, goddamn better believe I would exterminate all of them. And if you think I would joke about something like that, that would make me a pretty silly person, I think. So it's not rhetorical at all. But the place where our focus should be is what they are doing to our kids and to us today, not what I might theoretically want to do to them someday. That's how the SPL, well, what would you do to Jews if you had power? Well, what are you doing to me and my kind today? And I believe in being very aggressive on that point.
So are you? I'm sure you're probably.
I don't have any power. I don't have some pen that signs off on legislation directing people to go here or there. They have the power, and look at what they're doing to us. Who opened our borders? I didn't open it. The good people, even the liberal blue leftists of California, didn't open the border and say, let's pay all the illegal aliens. Jews did that. That's McDonald's saying that. Jews did that alone. And now people try to blame corporations. No, Jews did that alone. You're asking me what I would do to them? Oh, I'd see that justice was served. I'd run documentaries 24/7. I'd put the top Jewish leaders on trial. I'd let the American people make up their minds. I guarantee you I could convince them to do what I think would represent true justice.
And
you better believe it.
And no mercy for an Israel Shamir or Jews out there who happen to be anti-Zionist.
For people like that, you know, they're clowns. People like David Duke can take him seriously. I don't.
No, but I'm saying, would you kill an Israel Shamir?
That's absurd hypothetical question.
Well, hell no, it's not. You're absurd. How much more fucking absurd can you get than come on here and say you're going to kill all the fucking Jews?
No, you can't
have it both
that.
Fucking ways. I'm asking you a question. Would you kill Israel Shamir? It's a straight fucking question.
A question about all 14 or 20 million of them individually? We go one at a time?
You know,
do you agree with my position or you don't? I don't give a shit about
I'll go on the record. I'll go on the record. I sure as hell wouldn't kill them all.
Who cares?
No, hell no.
What I would do to them? I'm not advocating people go out there today. I'm talking about a strategy for obtaining power, and then
this is where you start wiggling.
I'm not talking about I'm going to go do something today.
You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Either you want to kill all them fucking Jews or you don't. And the way I try to get at the heart of the issue is, would you kill fucking Israel Shamir?
That's a dumb way to get at the heart of the issue.
No, it ain't. There you go. I thought you didn't know what your IQ is. How do you know I'm not fucking smarter than you are? You don't even know what your fucking IQ is.
I'm sure you are, man. You got to be pushing 200.
Now, hey, let me tell you what. We're going to get into the accent thing in just a minute. But
let people draw their own damn conclusions. I'm going to kill him, but I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to kill her, but I'm not going to kill her. She's kind of cute.
Alex.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous, too.
Let's revisit my question from the forum. If there was a 6-year-old Jewish child in the next room, and
I saw your little. Who wrote that for you? The SPLC? Did Byrick write that for you? This is the way you try to make a mawkish hypothetical question. How about I put to you? Are you sure you couldn't pull the trigger if it's some white slave trader in Tel Aviv sticking up 13, 14-year-old Eastern European girls? You couldn't pull the trigger on him?
Why can't you answer?
Why can't you answer?
You just said
you're going to play dueling mawkish hypotheticals. I'll play that.
You, You just said it was not a rhetorical position to exterminate. She said that was your heartfelt.
I'm not going to sit there and go, I'm going to kill this person. I'm not going to kill. If I said I would exterminate all of them, what conclusion can you not draw from that?
No, I mean, I want to know, could you exterminate a Jewish child yourself?
I want to know if you could not exterminate the Jew that I described, the white slave trade, taking white girls.
Well, wait a minute. Let's get both of you to answer both questions one at a time. He's dodging you right now, Brad. Let's go to his question to you first, and then we'll go back to him. Would you kill – ask the question of him, Alex.
Not repeating it. It's absurd hypothetical stuff.
Well, you've injected again something I've seen on your forum, that is you're going after Brad for – did the SPLC write it for him? Is that rhetorical?
No.
Or did?
No, I don't mean that literally. I mean, that's exactly the kind of tactic they would use. Of course they didn't write it. It's a cheap emotional ploy. If you think I don't mean it, that's great. That's your conclusion. Well, I'm happy the person listening can draw their conclusion about what I'm saying. I'm not going to answer absurd hypothetical questions like that.
You're the one who said that exterminating the Jews is not a rhetorical position. You said you're
there. There you go. There you go. You got
that. I mean, it's not the SPLC coming up. I mean, you just said that you would exterminate the whole Jewish people. So it's fair to ask.
Can you exterminate a Jew yourself?
Okay, you would. All right.
All right.
And what would you do? You'd leave them alive to come back into your country for the 111th time. I don't know about you, but when I've made a mistake 110 times in a row, I don't want to make it any more times. I want to end the problem forever. They're not going to stop being what they are. That's the whole point of people like McDonald's work. They are what they are in their biology. They can't change, and they're after us. And you want to sit there and toy around with some larval Annie Frank, and I'm supposed to feel bad about what they are doing to us. You can't even take your own side in an argument. And that's the definition of liberal. That's what got us into this mess. Screw them. I don't care about any of their fucking little people. They sure don't care about mine. I've never been treated with any respect or appropriate action by Jews who had any kind of power. They always censored me. So screw them. I don't care about them or any of them. You got to be viciously partisan. I don't think you all are tough enough for politics, frankly.
No, I think murdering people is immoral, flatly. I will say that. Yeah, it is immoral to murder anyone.
You say that. See, you're so unpolite. You don't even grasp it. No one accepts your pose as a Christian Bible believer.
Anybody in my town will tell you that if you murder someone, that is immoral. That is evil.
Well, lying's immoral too, and you lie all the time.
I'm not lying at all. I'm saying I've told Jim before when we had our first debate that it is immoral to murder anybody. It is immoral to murder any innocent person. Period.
Hey, just define it as something other than murder then.
If you walk into a room and with a 6-year-old Jewish child and blew her brains out, that is murder. And that's immoral, and white people are not going to stand for that. Even in Kirksville.
Alex, when did you arrive at your non-rhetorical position on Jews?
Well, what I said was I read E. Michael Jones's book. It's about 2,000 years of Aryan Jew or Western or European Jew relations. And then you see the problems they cause. And, of course, I got 10 or 15 years of reading about this stuff in the news and researching it and reading all kinds of, hundreds of books on the matter. And you draw the conclusion from it.
It's exactly.
People don't want to say it because it sounds immoral or evil. We're supposed to treat everyone as an individual. But when they act as a member of a group that's hostile to your group and they have extreme amounts of power, I mean, to me, the solution suggests itself. Are we going to keep kicking them out of our country, and then they come back in and they create the same problems again? I don't like that. Doesn't seem wise to me. So,
any more comments from either one of you on the Jewish folks?
I would say that.
Can I say something, Brad? Then I'll let you go. Unlike you two, probably, I've actually known them. I've lived with them in houses. I've had them as friends. I've had them as professors. I have a pretty good grip of them, and it's not just from books. It is from actually knowing them. And I don't want them bossing my kind around. That's the fundamental. You say I have like a visceral reaction to blacks. I haven't had that much personal dealings with blacks. But viscerally to Jews, I am not going to be run by them. I am not going to be bossed around under their society. Our people must regain their head and run their own lives and be sovereign over it.
Yes, but that's the point. That's precisely the point. you want to polarize white people against Jews, but when you say that you're going to go out and personally exterminate a Jewish child, that's going to polarize 99.9% of white people against you.
I wasn't aware I said I was personally going to go out and exterminate a Jewish child.
If you make that argument, no one is going to listen to you. People are going to write you off.
That's why I don't make that argument.
It's going to be damaging. It's going to be damaging to people who want to...
Yeah, this is where I come from on the deal, Alex. You know, it's lingering back there. No matter how well you write, no matter how many words you know in the English language, this comes back and ultimately comes up, your non-rhetorical position on Jews.
So what? I'm not in the Democratic pandering mode that...
Yeah, well, forget Democrats. Forget politics.
You just tell me how it's done, Jim. How'd you do in your elections?
Let's just talk about a street gang. I mean, how many street gang members do you think you can get by saying, hey, listen, our problem are them fucking Jews, and what we need to do is kill all them motherfuckers.
I don't understand the question.
Well, I've lived in New York City and lived and worked amongst Jews, so I know exactly where they're coming from. It's not a rhetoric. It's a real-world experience for me. Some of them were very nice, and I enjoyed them. Others were backstabbers and very vicious, cunning. I saw firsthand. There was one boy in particular who went to Brown University. He had shared his background with me. His people came from an East European country, maybe Poland. And he had this he had this visceral dislike of me as an obvious German-type Aryan. And he did his best to trip me up and needle me. As a matter of fact, the branch meeting where I pretty much ended my IBM career, he was up in my face saying, Jimmy, what do you think about Bob making that comment about an awful little place in Mississippi? Our branch manager at a kickoff, IBM was a big place back then. I worked on Madison Avenue. And I'll share this with you, Alex, since you always hit me on my IQ and my accent and whatnot.
Never hits you on your IQ.
Let me finish. I had a Harvard colleague who worked with me, and he always referred to me as a silver tongue devil. Now, my speech therapist has been working with me on Gomorrah. Is that okay? Gomorrah. Does that sound?
The second one was pretty darn close, Jim. You're Gomorrah? Getting better.
Anyway.
It's Gomorrah. Didn't you ever hear it in Sunday school? Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah. Well, did you understand? Is Gomorrah okay?
I think it's okay.
I think
sounds right to me.
Did you trip? Did I not hear you trip earlier on attain? What did you say? Did you trip earlier on attain? And I had a word for you, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Do you know what that word means?
It's out of Mary Poppins.
Do you know what it means?
I don't know what it means.
Do you know what it means, Brad?
It doesn't mean anything. It's a made-up word.
It has a meaning.
I don't know.
You don't know what it means?
Mean anything.
Sure it does. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It's something to say when you have nothing to say. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, that's one. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, that's three times. Let me hear you say that, Alex, real quick.
I don't think I'm going to say that.
You and Jerry Taylor are just the same kind of fucking intellectual. I throw a fucking challenge at you and you duck. I asked Jerry Taylor to speak Japanese. He said, I don't play them kind of parlor games. Listen, I was known as a silver-tongued devil amongst Ivy Leaguers in Manhattan, where there are probably more fucking Jews than there are in Israel.
Wait, Jim, what is it you think you've just proved by that demonstration?
I prove that your intellectualism, your non-rhetorical position on Jews can be challenged, as can your position on Christianity can and should be challenged. You know what concerns me most is white people are in a jam, and there ain't no fucking leader in sight. I mean, somebody who's wholesome, that can actually say, follow me, and people would actually want to follow them. Here, you have a non-rhetorical position on Jews, and forget about fucking politics and democracy. Let's just talk about honor, which you say is somehow ego-driven. Do you think, I mean, I, Anyway, getting back to the Jewish boy.
I say if I offer a modest correction of how you pronounce a word and you get angry at it. Now, you didn't, so. But sometimes, Brad was describing the Southern honor culture. If they get mad over something that's simply a technical correction, I would consider that an ego problem, yes. I don't get mad if you correct me if I get something wrong.
When I spoke in New York, people...
I say thanks for the correction.
When I spoke in New York, people who didn't know me, they would grin, especially the girls. I always considered it an advantage, and I resent having to live here in Mississippi now where I no longer enjoy that advantage. They like
it's unique and distinctive. I like it. I like hearing Brad's accent also. I like hearing accents from pretty much anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting. I like to mimic them and imitate them also. Not just to make fun of them, just because it's fun. I like talking different ways. I enjoy hearing your accents.
Thank you. That's a charming Alex I love. See, there's a part about you, Alex, I love. There's a part about you I hate. I'm trying to sort that out, boy. All right, let's try to get to some substance here, and that is the legality of what both you men are doing. Let's go with you first, Brad. This thing with secession, have you conferred with an attorney in regard to this?
I don't have to. The Supreme Court has already said in the Texas versus White decision that secession is illegal.
Secession is what?
According to the decision of the Supreme Court in Texas versus White, the states don't have a right to secede from the Union.
Do not.
Wait, Brad, when was that made? When was that decision made? And where?
It was after the war.
Oh.
The name of the case is Texas versus White, so I don't have to... Already know the answer to that. That's the ruling of the Supreme Court. That's precedent. So,
and again, say it slowly. That ruling says what?
The ruling in Texas versus White, which is the Supreme Court decision, it came up after the war between the states, and it was decided by Chief Justice Samuel Chase. The ruling in Texas versus White is that states don't have a right to secede from the Union.
And yet, here you are advocating it.
That's right.
And have you heard of the term treason before?
I don't care if you call me a traitor.
What now?
I said I don't care if people call me a traitor to this regime. I don't care.
And if they arrest you, if the U.S. attorney where you live indicts you and brings you up and you're facing prison time, do you think you might care then?
That's not illegal. It's not illegal to advocate secession.
How do you know it's not?
I'm pretty sure of that.
Pretty sure?
The League of the South
now, you,
has been
you blamed, you blamed Alex as it's just an internet game. Why is your Republic of Dixie and you're advocating secession not just a game as well? It's just all internet stuff.
Well, we've seceded before. It's been done before. It's happened.
Well, we had an army back then our boys were ready to take to the field with guns and start shooting. I don't see anybody like that. Moreover, our enemy is even stronger today than they were then. Moreover, our people, they're so dumbed down. Most of them couldn't even tell you an accurate, actually what happened during the Civil War. They think Lincoln freed, you know, that it was just an effort to free the slaves, that Lincoln was a good man. I had a young lady, beautiful. See, this is why I can't get a date. I had a beautiful blonde recently tell me how she thought Lincoln was moral. Now, how is that? You know, how am I supposed to interact with someone like that? You know, most kids in the South, they think they don't have. Your view is not consistent with the view of most people in the South. Now,
breaking up. Jim, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Okay, I can hear you, but Jim, they've had Northern sponsored public education shoved down their throat. And Jewish TV all their lives, so they don't know the truth.
Treason. Let me read. Brad, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. This is the constitutional definition of treason. And let me get you to comment it's very short passage. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. The end. Have you ever faced a criminal charge?
No.
Are you familiar with the term theory of the case, the prosecution's theory of the case?
I don't believe so, but I can tell you that it's not illegal to advocate secession.
Yeah, Jim, what are you trying to push? It's not illegal to do what he's doing.
Well, no. I'm saying the U.S. attorney can take a completely different view than you boys. And, you know, your view ain't the one that counts. And so what, you may end up prevailing before a jury, but that don't mean that they can't haul your ass in there and put you through the ringer. So I don't think
it's that's true. But, you know, what can you say? I mean,
you can say nothing. You cannot risk going to prison. That's what you can do.
It's not illegal to advocate secession. People have been doing this here for 20 years.
Yeah. Well,
for 20 years they've been doing it. So, I mean, if I say I believe Alabama should secede, they can go, like, arrest the 30,000 people who signed the secession petition.
Yeah. What they got 100,000 in Texas, right?
Yeah. Arrest us
all. Yeah, go arrest 100,000 people and throw them in jail? Probably not.
Getting to you, Alex, on the legality issue. In your on your forum, I found our cause and our case. And the last passage states, "We at VNN pledge our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to resist Jewish tyranny by every means until white liberation is achieved." Alex Linder, stop. Is it rhetorical when you say "by every means"?
Is it rhetorical when I say "by every means"?
Yeah. Don't you mean to say "by every legal means"?
No, I mean to say "by every means."
Including illegal?
I make no comment on that. Mm-hmm. People will have to use the means according to what they see as fit. And I don't advise anyone do anything. What they do is up to themselves, and what I do is up to me.
I recall.
And what we do is look at what the government does. So long as the government stays legal, then we have the ability to make peaceful change.
That right there alone scares the shit out of most people. They ain't going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I recall interviewing, what was that boy's name up at Ole Miss? Professor of constitutional law, expert on First Amendment. Anyway, he predicted that Bill White would ultimately be let go, that the higher courts would overturn the lower court's decision. Wrong. That didn't work out that way.
Well, that's very much up in the air. Most of what he did, they actually did say was legal, and then it's been overturned, and now it's not entirely clear what the deal is, and there's also two or three different things. But actually, a very dangerous precedent was set in that example. And I've been posting some letters he sent me. I guess he writes me and a couple other people. But the precedent was that you don't need to have actual technical legal incitement. They can simply take like the milieu or the background in which the statement appeared and then say, oh, that's good enough to prove there's kind of a latent or a passive incitement to leniency or to murder or solicitation or whatever in light of the no. And basically they're saying if you hold certain views, we don't have to prove incitement. We can assume it, I think is the best way to sum it up, which is a very, very new sort of intrusive thing. And theoretically, you know, almost anyone could be arrested under that.
Ronald Rischlak, that was that boy's name. Ronald Rischlak. He's the one that devised the stick flag ban up there, the clever way they ended up banning the Confederate battle flag at all Ole Miss football games. Personally, I think both you boys are playing with fire, and but let's go on, let's move on.
Do the feds follow the law?
Hell no. But they're the police though. But there ain't no fucking way they follow the law. But guess what? They are the law, and they control the fucking prisons. And guess
what? Right.
They'll stick your
that's
ass
right.
in there.
It's scary stuff.
You goddamn right it is, and that's why you know. I'm just wondering. We want at some point. I hope to get to this. Is your ability to actually you kind of contend you're maybe a propagandist? What was that boy's name that worked for Hitler? Was it Goebbels? Who was the
Goebbels was the
man. Dang it! I mispronounced that word. I'm sorry.
God. Well, Jim, hold on now.
I'm kidding.
Goebbels, O-E is an umlaut. That's not an English sound, so I don't expect you to get that right if you haven't studied German. I can say Goebbels because, and I'm not even pronouncing it particularly well. But like I said, the O with the umlaut, the two dots over it, is not an English sound. So English speakers can anglicize it to Goebbels if they want.
Alex, do you consider,
as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't criticize them for it.
Do you consider?
But I can try to be showy and go Goebbels, Goebbels, Goebbels. And I could say Goebbels too and just sound like average person. It's fine.
This is probably a stupid question, but I'm good at asking stupid questions. Do you consider yourself a revolutionary, Alex?
I don't consider myself anything, really.
How about you, Brad?
No.
What are you then?
A secessionist.
Well, what is that?
Secession is not revolution.
What is it?
There's a difference between revolution and secession. Secession is when a legitimate state government decides to, through a sovereign secession convention, decides to exercise its right to withdraw from the United States or from the Union. Whereas revolution would be people going out and picking up guns and overthrowing these. So overthrowing the government. There's a difference between secession and revolution are not the same things. If suppose for example, well, let me put it this way. In 1861, Alabama seceded from the United States. And if you go back to, in your state, 1875, when there was Reconstruction, there was a revolution in Mississippi that overthrew the Reconstruction a few years later. People got guns and went out in the street and blocked the polling places, and they took over the government in Mississippi.
Yeah, Jim, to me, at least, that's why I say I don't call myself anything. It's word games. It's what do you do? What do you believe? You know, what do I think about this? Do you agree with it? What can we do to bring about the desired change? Putting labels on yourself. People call themselves revolutionary because they want to sound cool. And to me, it just sounds silly or dumb, basically. Mm-hmm. Listen to what I'm saying and draw your conclusion from that, from what I say and how I act over time.
I'm curious about y'all's future homeland. Brad's chosen the Old South. Alex, assumes, chosen the entire way the U.S. looks now. And I'm just wondering how you arrived at that geography, and have you given thought to its defensibility and that sort of thing? Have you conferred with military folks about these matters? Y'all are well read.
No, I have not conferred with any military folks. It's purely in terms of a strategy, I've thought out, here's what we would need to do as a national party. Here's the type of people we need. Here's the type of activities we'd be engaged in. And it remains purely at that theoretical level. I really was kind of tripped up by developing this disease a few years ago. It kind of threw me for a loop. I had other plans that I was going to develop, but until I have the physical capacity to lead it, I'll be a fag like everybody else in kibitz. One of my favorite words, a Yiddish word, is people who overlook those who are actually at the card table playing cards and offer them advice. And I know it's totally faggy. I get sick of all this internet carping and whining and bitching. It's very effeminate. But now, that's what I can do. So at least it helps enlarge the circle of people who understand the problem. And even all this infighting helps us see the different solutions and the different personalities involved. But I'll tell you what, I wish there really should be a lot more military people involved, because ultimately you need people with a professional military security background who are able to stop those who would prevent us from developing real world organizations, whether for Southern secession or for continental white nationalism, let's say.
Are either one of you familiar with the Republic of Arcadia?
Yeah, I know a little about that.
You talking about Greece?
Nope.
No, he means Northwest.
Oh, you Cascadia then?
No, Arcadia.
Arcadia or Cascadia?
Arcadia.
Oh, I've heard it called Cascadia. So.
Yeah, I think I've heard one or both of them.
All right, let's move on here. You know, we had left off.
Jim, are you just going to leave it hanging like that, buddy? Come on, buddy. No. We got people listening. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about something I don't want to talk about, actually. You know, that comes
Jim,
up.
Jimmy, are you hiding something from us?
Absolutely, come on, man.
Hey,
I tried to.
My blue chip nose smells something interesting going on.
Ain't no doubt. Buddy. Ain't no doubt. You know, I was trying to you know, keep in mind, I've not spoken. I've left RFM to actually do real work in the real world. And so one of the reasons I was rusty in our last piece was I just hadn't been doing this. But that's not somewhere I want to go for a lot of reasons. And, you know, that's just the reality of it. We had told everyone we were going to talk about strategy and tactics, and here we are only now coming to that point. Let's just tackle it. It's not necessarily in any order. Bringing up strategy and tactics, the thing that struck me as an old IBMer, they taught us business-wise, and IBM back in those days, we're talking early 80s, it was all kind of militaristic. Many of the executives at IBM were former military, and so they had a strategic view of things, and this issue about strategy, goals, objectives, tactics, they had it down to a science. It wasn't nebulous at all. They grilled you on understanding what the customer's strategy was, what their goals and objectives were, and they designed their products after getting that information from these Fortune 500 companies or whoever, even a small mom-and-pop operation, they would do the same thing. So when y'all start advocating a strategy, I'm just wondering, that is a big kettle of fish. And
thing flipping out or what? I'm getting some strange noises.
Oh, I was flipping through a book.
Okay.
Adjust my headset.
Can you hear me okay? Can you hear
me
now?
I can hear you.
Okay, I think it's back to normal. It was getting a little feedbacky.
Yeah, let's just get to it. Alex, what is your strategy?
Well, my strategy would be for a national political party. Honestly, I'd rather have Brad go first on this. I'm not in the mood for discussing mine right now.
Yeah, I know how you feel. It's kind of, you kind of get winded after a while. Brad, are you in the mood? Do you have the?
This is stuff that takes a long time. We ought to go over it carefully and critique it without getting all heated up. I would like to hear his. Honestly, I'm tired of talking about mine right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was writing a lot of it out the other day, and then stuff came up over the weekend, and I had stuff to do, so I couldn't finish it all. But here's the basics of my strategy. First thing we need to do is to stir ethnic consciousness in the South. The second thing we need to do is win people over to our own side by communicating with them in terms they can understand. The third thing we need to do is close the gap between the average Southern people and the people who I would call the secessionist vanguard. The fourth thing we need to do is to polarize the country along sectional lines, and especially within the GOP. The fifth thing we need to do is revolt in defense of our own values, and finally we need to secede and create a Southern Republic. So that's about the six bullets of that I would describe as the basic essence of my strategy.
Critique that, Alex, if you would.
Sounds good, but I mean, you know, the difficulty is doing it. So how do you, in practical terms, proceed to step one? You got to explain how you're going to do each one of those.
Do we want to get to tactics? Or, you know, Jim's already said, you know, there's a division between vision and strategy and tactics and objectives and goals. And so,
Have y'all studied the relationship between all of those various terms? Do y'all have a framework?
Well, I've read, believe me, metric tons of business literature back when I was working corporate stuff. But the difference here is, you know, we're not going out to the customers and trying to figure out what they need. We have to provide leadership, which, because they're so filled with misinformation, a lot of them are not going to like and are going to be opposed to. But we need to lead them. We're not democratic pandering to them. Do you like this? No, we're saying this country is going here and we are going here.
Jim,
yes,
I got something that, you know, you've mentioned and you've brought up IBM and business, and you've also brought up the military, and I think that's an excellent way to look at it. And here's I'm going to quote from this book. It's called Win, and it's called The Key Principles to Take Your Business from Ordinary to Extraordinary. And it's by Frank Luntz, who's actually a big Republican pollster. He wrote this book, and he just published it. And he calls it the 9 P's of winning: people-centeredness, paradigm-breaking, prioritization, perfection, partnership, passion, persuasion, persistence, and principled action. So what he did is he went out and did 1,400 interviews with the leaders in sports, business, the military, and those are the 9 things that, you know, he said they all had in common. That was, you know, the essence of how they succeeded. And it's a great book. So I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah. You know what, boys, I intended to do this halfway, but here we've been getting after it for like an hour and a half. Let's just listen. Let's take about a 3 minutes or so, and you can stretch your legs, get a drink of water or whatever, and then we'll come back and go for about 30 more minutes and wrap up. How about that?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Boys, y'all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Avoil. We're here.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question before I actually do it. Y'all want to have some fun?
Sure.
Alex, you up for some fun?
Oh, I'm always up for fun, Jim.
All right.
Well, y'all got in mind, big guy.
Just bear with me.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
May I speak with Mark Potok, please?
Just a moment.
Hello, this is Mark Potok. I'm either on the phone or away from my desk. Please leave a message, and I will get back to you just as soon as I can.
Sometimes you luck out, sometimes you don't. Just bear with me. 1 second. Well, I tell you, I screwed up big time here now. Let me see if I can get these boys back. They're saying, what happened? That Jim Giles, he's trying to do no telling what here. Come on. I lost Brad and Alex momentarily. Hopefully, I can get them back here. Hold what you got. I'm working. Keep listening, boys. Talk amongst yourselves. As Robert Reardon used to tell us at IBM, talk amongst yourselves. Where are we at here? I'm trying to bring up this application right there. There it is. What is it? There it is. Okay. I think I got it. Come on up there, boy. There we go. Oh, what you got, boys? Keep listening. Funny sound. Come on. Come on. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? There you are. Yeah, who that?
I'm here.
Alex?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, here.
It was because I was trying to connect a fourth call without it. It didn't drop the SPLC number. So hold what you got.
Good afternoon, ABL.
May I speak with Abraham Foxman, please?
I'm sorry, he's in a meeting. Can I take a message?
Well, this is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and I was wondering, is there a representative there that I could speak with about your organization?
Okay,
we're on the air now.
Media Relations Department, just a moment, please.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, hello. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, live, and I was wondering, is there someone there with the ADL that I could chat with for a moment? I have a couple of other individuals on with me.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to put you on hold a little bit.
Thank you. sometimes you luck out and sometimes you don't. You never know who you're going to get on the other line, though, boys. I'm an old fisherman, and one principle of catching fish is to keep your hook in the water. Unfortunately, I abandoned fishing for this stuff now. I miss fishing, boys. I'll be honest with you. I lost all my friends. I don't even have – none of my fishing buddies will even call me now. It's pathetic.
What, because really? You're running for office?
Just all this stuff, this racial – it's not just running for office, Alex. It's running as a white supremacist, a hater, a neo-Nazi. It's just not running for office.
Or were you actually running as a neo-Nazi?
No, but you know you're being facetious now.
No, I'm not being facetious. I'm literally asking. I don't know. You might have been a member of NSM or something, for all I know.
I was running as a pro-white, anti-Zionist, independent candidate for Congress.
Now see, you ought to be talking to Brad about that, because that figures pretty directly to his plans.
Oh, all my friends, they read my site all the time. So
yeah,
well,
they know what I'm about.
We are friends, dude. Yeah, but how about just average people in the community if they respond to Jim like that? That's the point. What if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound.
I don't have any friends anymore as a result. I lost all my friends.
Oh, lots of people here. I've actually had people come on from my community. I'll link to you the comment. One guy came on, and I'd written something about my own county and how there was the black farmers lawsuit one time. And I said, you know, the black farmers
excuse me, Brad. I just dropped the ADL. They're probably saying, oh, my God, that stinking, ripping Jim Giles. Is that nut from Mississippi calling me? Lord have mercy. Hang up. Don't come back.
Yeah.
Boys, Jim,
what's your intent there?
Hey, my intent is to fish out something that would expose them for the frauds they are. That's my intent. They're supposed to be the good guys. We're the bad guys. Now,
what do you think you're going to get? You're going to get some low-level flunky who's going to say nothing, really.
Really?
Probably at the ADL.
Just hold that thought for just a moment. Expound on that a bit if you can, Alex. What are you saying?
They're just going to put someone on the phone who's going to, you know, give you blather about diversity or whatever, or act like you're some kind of kook or something.
Well, take a listen here.
If you're going to do it seriously, you'd want to set up an interview with them.
This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi. And joining us on the telephone line now from Montgomery, Alabama, is the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center, Mr. Mark Potok. Mr. Potok, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Is it snowing over there? Did y'all get some snow? So, you know, there's a lot that can come from taking on these folks head on. You get a feel for where they're coming from. And ultimately, this is all a big PR.
Yeah. But you're calling them out of the blue with other people on. What, are we supposed to ask them questions or what?
Well, yeah, you would be my panel.
I thought, you know, calling Potok was a great idea. I thought, you know, if you could get him on the line, he could confirm that I don't work for him.
Well, Potok, I don't know about ADL. I mean, they're I don't think you get much out of them, but SPLC, yeah. We could ask them if they would join us in supporting a Western reservation for white racists. Since they're so evil, get them away from the rest of the healthy people.
Mm-hmm. I suggested that in Wyoming. I talked to a reporter. I said they should create a reservation in Wyoming for white people, like the one that
exactly.
happens.
So.
One curiosity I have about you boys is, on the one hand, y'all seem to hate one another, but then on the other, you're eager to engage one another. What's the deal there?
I don't hate Alex.
No, I mean, I don't hate. Hate is a word the enemy uses. I hate and love in the same proportion as basically everyone on Earth does. You know, hate, love, I mean. Yeah, it's stuff on the internet. It's basically people who are not under their real names, who are saying stuff they would not say face-to-face in real life generally. So when there's actual conversation, it usually tends to be a lot politer. That's true across the board.
A couple of things.
I don't hate Brad at all. I mean, to me, he's somewhat unstable and unreliable, but I appreciate that he's dug out all these excellent quotations about the Yankee mentality and the actual thoughts and the expressions that were running through the minds and in the papers of the Southerners preceding the original secession. That's very useful material for his cause or for mine.
This is a recurring theme of yours,
and,
Alex.
And no one else is doing that I can tell, so I appreciate that very much.
But you preface it with just incredibly disparaging comments. It's a recurring theme of yours. Brad, take it on now. Let's try to sort this out.
I mean, what would you want me to respond to?
Well, he said you're maybe unstable, inconsistent, maybe insincere.
No, and if you want to know, we've already covered why I got out of the white nationalist movement. It was Greg who got me into all that crap. I bought into it hook, line, and sinker. I went all the way to Virginia, set up an operation there. I was trying to organize white nationalists in real life in Virginia to advance the cause.
Brad, what Parrott said, you reorganized your metaphysics around your butt hurt. And frankly, that's what I'm hearing. Now, the point is, these people mistreated you is all you're saying. What is philosophically wrong with white nationalism? That's what matters.
There is something philosophical wrong about it. I mean, if you look at my history, you look at all the people at the fora who stole my own website and disparaged me. Well, then you have to go Brad, Johnson and
Brad,
look at your forum.
But those weren't white nationalists that did that at the fora, were they?
A lot of them were, and I just don't want to interact with people like that. I would rather interact with normal people in my own community.
That's seems like to me it's a personal thing, not a political thing. If white nationalists had treated you great, you'd still be a white nationalist.
I see this happening again and again, and this lots of people drop out of the white nationalist movement because they interact with these people and they just don't want to do it anymore, and that's how it was with me.
I understand that, but I think that's a wider political problem in general. People who go into politics are basically the worse or more extreme people. Even if it's Republican or Democrat, it does not attract the good people. That's true of all politics.
The way I look at it is I don't want to spend my time interacting, fighting with Greg, with Matt Parrott, with all these anonymous idiots from the fora, people on BNN harassing me. I don't want to deal with it.
Brad, why do you keep going back there then?
I mean, people ask me why. You ask me why I'm not a white nationalist, and that is the reason. It's because I've had bad experiences, and I just don't want any more.
But you keep going back and giving as good as you're getting.
I'm just wondering why
if you have such a bad view of white nationalism and VNM Forum as a sewer, why are you even there?
Why am I there? Mm-hmm. I think I went over there to argue with
You like to argue then, basically, is the
It wasn't with Linder, it was Linder was posting on OD, and so I noticed there was some guy over there.
Brad, I still will post on OD. I didn't know if you wanted me still posting there or what. I just, to me, when you allow certain types of people to spew lies, I don't know. To me, that just seems obviously the wrong way to go. If there's any lies you see about yourself, I wouldn't allow them on mine. You feel attacked more easily than I do, I guess, but libelous, defamatory garbage that I don't allow.
Well, I mean, that's my impression of VNN, but look,
who's defaming you? No one's defaming
you. All those people over there are doing this.
Disagreeing with you.
There's people saying...
They may be insulting you, but look, someone can call you an idiot. That doesn't mean anything. If someone calls you a child molester, that's a serious thing. That's the difference that you don't see the grasp.
That's the point. Do I want to interact with these people? Do I want them to move to my community? No. I don't want any further involvement with people like that. Now Jim has drawn me out by doing these interviews.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
I understand, but I mean, the ordinary give and take of this stuff online. You just got to get rid of the defamatory statements is the main thing to me. If people assert something serious, it's one thing just to insult people. I do that all the time. People do it to me. Who cares? It doesn't mean that much. It's either funny or it's not funny. But when you start making specific allegations, your ex is an informant, ex molest children, ex committed murder, that's the serious stuff that ought to be absolutely banned. And that's what I do. I don't allow that. And my standard should be upheld by everybody in white nationalism.
Well, no one agrees with your standards.
Now, they prefer no standards and anything goes, and just say, oh, Linder's an informant. He's this, he's that, he's a Jew, he's whatever. Utterly baseless. I don't allow it. You can have a different opinion. Let people read my form, read yours, read around, and make their own decision. I'm confident.
I would rather cut out all the crap, and I'm going to do that after. I let the moderation queue go down for this debate, and I see it's spiraled again. So,
yeah, well, I'm happy to comment at your place. I don't like when they start making it about me because I think you want attention to yourself and what you're talking about, and that's all I ever try to contribute if I go over there.
Right? Like I've said, I cut out 90% of it. And okay. I'll let the moderation
I just want you to understand where I'm coming from when I posted OD. It's not
that's
to try
fine.
I all these friggin' Remora tagalongs pop out of the woodwork and start insulting. I don't care if they do that, but I don't want to derail good stuff you got going. So
if you want to make a substantial comment, that's fine. I welcome anybody who'll do that.
Okay.
Now that's the flaming. Obviously going to have to cut out even more of that. So
Even care about the flaming. I personally think that you shouldn't allow defamatory stuff, but, you know, each person makes his own call.
Hey,
insults or whatever, I can care less about that.
Hey, boys, let me ask you a question in regard to where we go from here. Would y'all be up for trying to present news that is important, that is markedly different from what the control media has to offer to people, whether it be on Iran, the Arab Spring, you name it? The issue out there is not presented in my view, and I think clearly in both y'all's views as well, in a clear way. There's a spin to it. They're doping Americans up. And basically I'm asking you, would y'all be willing to be journalists on RFM on certain matters, certain issues that matter most, that we could agree on beforehand, and then go in and take on the subject? For example, Iran. Iran is the Jewish folks have been trying to invade Iran for, you know, it seems like forever now. And the whole issue about the Jews in the Middle East. But to my question to y'all, would that be something? Is that something you would be interested in doing with me as panel members on Radio Free Mississippi?
Well, sure. I mean, if you want me to have me on to comment about the Iran situation.
But also to do research and to basically do a special report like the control media does. We've got a situation in this country now where people turn on the television, they get on the internet or whatever, and there's a single source for news. Now, they've been deceived into thinking that Fox is an alternative. They think they actually have an alternative view from Fox, not realizing that it's all about the same thing. They don't disagree on anything. And really the power that exists in this country, in my opinion, that needs to be confronted is mass media, news, an alternative voice on the infinite number of items out there that it's all spin. It's all politically correct. You never get an honest voice. Alex,
I see what you mean. I personally, no, that would not interest me particularly. It sounds like it's more interesting to you. I think what we lost when William Pierce died was someone who consistently looked at the biggest picture, like he was a CEO of our race, and this is what you guys are doing wrong. This is where we need to go. That's what more interests me. I'm more interested in, like, I'd rather spend 2 hours hearing Brad discuss secession because I know he knows the history probably better than anyone of prior to 1860 and the rest of the racial history. I would like to go into that in greater detail. That's what interests me.
What do you
call
that?
And then I would, of course, be willing to discuss my own strategy. And I don't even mean something necessarily hostile, just a critiqued intellectual analysis. To me, that's 100 times more interesting than plain news.
What do you call that then? How would you describe what you just laid out? What is that?
Strategic thinking for the white race, or if he wants to style it, the Southern nation that's held in bondage.
We didn't really get into the strategy and tactics. There was a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah. Well, then let's go to that next time. How about a week from today, 2 o'clock?
Yeah, this time works for me pretty well, if it works for you guys, for sure.
Yeah. How about we'll actually get into what we were supposed to get into, and that is strategy and tactics, a week from today at 2 o'clock.
Well, that gives me more time to work on.
Okay. I would like to go second on that if possible. I would like to do his very well. And if his takes up 2 hours, that's fine with me.
Have you got 2 hours worth, or do you have an estimate, Brad, as to how long it'll take you?
We'll just do like how we've been doing it.
Yeah, let's play it by ear, and work, okay. But work it out slowly and not be impatient, and people need to start thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, right. My little article stimulated a great deal of commentary and interest. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much the only one who's got the history, who's at least talking about this. I think a lot of people can easily sign up, but it's worth going into. I want to hear about it.
Okay.
I'm tired of hearing my own stuff. I want to hear his first, and then I'll give my view after that.
All right. If
which
y'all
is also will, thought out.
If y'all will update your respective forum and blog to reflect the fact that we will be back here a week from today at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay.
Gentlemen, we're right at 2 hours, so we're actually over. Well, no, we're about 5 minutes. Anyway, let's end there. Thank you for your time, and y'all have a good week, and we'll hook up again a week from today.
Okay. Right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. See you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi.